You know, there's trends in everything. Trends in fashion. There's trends in television. There's trends in publishing. There's trends all over the place. Have we talked lately, though, about technology trends, of what's happening in our technological world? Well, I know I haven't. So we bring in our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, to help us talk about these trends. Jesse is an author and developer who focuses on small business and nonprofits along with iOS technologies. He has recently added book publisher to his roles. He wasn't doing enough. So he decided that the, what the hell, he'll publish Uta Hagen's memoir, Sources, which is now back in print through ChamplainArts.com. Jesse, it's always wonderful to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
All right. So you basically, from my understanding of how this particular topic came to be, is that you were looking at just a slew of articles and noticed things that sort of we're trending. We're coming in and saying, oh, well, these are things that seem to be emerging as issues that are starting to hit the light.
Yes. Although some of them have been hitting the light for a while.
Right.
But what I noticed is in reading several of these articles back to back and following what's going on, I saw some patterns, some trends that I thought were interesting.
So one that's been around for a long time that we've been talking about for a long time is like AI, for example.
Yes.
Okay. So this crops up in many different ways. So what should we know about AI as far as a trend?
The trend really hasn't changed too much. It is going to be a major part of our environment. And years ago, when the Unix operating system was being launched, magazine articles were published. There were cover stories saying, this will be the year of Unix. I don't think we're doing that anymore because the year of Unix passed when someone discovered it was already there. But I think AI is
so we're not doing that anymore because we usually get it wrong.
No, we're right, but we've been right about AI being important and being part of the environment. That's been true for a while. We just haven't paid that much attention to it because once you get down into the weeds and see how we're using it, you're going to get letters, or I'll get letters about this. Once you get down into the weeds and start using AI, it's pretty boring.
Yeah. Well, and it's a huge thing, but it's hard. It's very dense, isn't it?
It's very dense, but once people start noticing and saying, okay, if you don't understand AI, do you use such and such an app? Do you realize it's got AI built into it in this way? We can say, you know, AI is part of many, many apps, but to say in this way, this thing that you like happens to rely on AI, but it tends to be sort of weeds.
Now, I use that as an example of one of the things that have been around for a while. But one of the things that you write about here, which I find fascinating, is do-it-yourself. The fact that development by us, by individuals, is becoming more common and more a thing.
That was the pattern that I saw that really got me excited.
Okay. So what does it mean?
What it means is that we have been promising in the tech world for nearly 70 years.
Jesus. Okay.
I'm sorry. The pause was because I was trying to remember a reference.
Yeah, no, that's
fine. And I will share it. But for nearly 70 years, we have been saying that people can use computers in their daily lives, in their businesses, to do useful things very easily. And it's that last little part, very easily, that has been an issue. The thing that I was trying to remember is that when IBM launched their first business computer, which was in the early 50s, they said at that time the computers were all mainframe computers with raised flooring and air conditioning and so forth, big deals. And they were used primarily for calculations, trajectories of bullets, yeah, missiles, and so forth. IBM came along and said, we can use them for people to run their businesses. And they did say in their press release that computerizing a business was actually more complex than calculating trajectories of things. And they said that. To their credit, they said that. However, they went on to say in the press release that a business using this wonderful new computer from IBM could computerize its operations within a month or two. Now, that deadline has been pushed back about 4 zillion times. And at the time when they were saying in a month or two we would be able to run a business on these fancy new computers, at that point we did not have what I would consider major components of apps. For example, we had no capital letters. No, we had no lowercase letters. It was only capital letters. You could run a business and produce documents and reports only using capital letters. Many of us thought that was not quite ready for distribution. But from going back to the early 50s, the vendors have been saying, you can do this, you can computerize your operation. And what we've left out is the fact that we're missing components like lowercase letters, and we're also missing the glue that ties it together so that you can actually do something that you want to do in your business or your life.
So for the person who's doing it themselves or doing it is, this would be you, right?
No, what these articles are suggesting, and many other people are suggesting, is that the person who can build the apps, build the software, create the things that do something useful, are people with what we call domain knowledge. Not people with programming knowledge necessarily, but people who know the business, the environment.
I see.
So the... And that sound that you hear.
Yes.
Not that sound. The clicking sound is teachers of software development wondering where they fit into this picture.
Well, it's a good question, right?
And when you, if you start putting things together, as I was doing as I put all these articles together, and we've talked about this before, you'll find there's a challenge of training people to build apps and software. How do we do that? Tim, there's a project I think we talked about of retraining coal miners in West Virginia to build apps. These are people who have knowledge of coal mining, but turning them into app developers. A few weeks ago, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, said publicly that it is not necessary to get a college degree in order to become a developer. You don't need that type or kind or amount of training. Now, obviously, he has an axe to grind because he wants more developers out there because we need people who can develop the apps so that people can use them and then buy more devices and services. But all of this seems to be, there seems to be a lot of discussion and thinking about whether or not getting computers to do useful things requires the training and infrastructure that we have now come to rely on. And does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Is it scary?
I mean, I guess as long as the work gets done, right?
Yeah.
But it'll shake out.
It'll shake out, but it means that the work and some of the articles, and I put them on the website so people can look at them.
ChamplainArts.com.
Some of these articles are suggesting that if we can train people or get people who understand the domain, the business, to get the computers to do what they want it to do, that does mean a little bit less on the wizard side of things, you know, these mysterious people who do use this extraordinarily peculiar technology.
So let's talk about things that are lurking in the shadows. 5G.
5G remains lurking in the shadows. I've been on 5G. You probably have. If you travel around in New York City, you see the little thing that says you're on 5G. Makes no difference whatsoever, because for 5G to work, you need the communications.
Right.
You need a phone or other device that supports 5G. And you need software that runs on 5G. And to get all three of those together is, at this point, very rare. But the pieces are coming up. So
it's still rolling out.
It's rolling out. And, you know, it's sort of like the year of Unix. we are entering the decade of 5G. It is here, but not in a usable way for too many people right now.
You make the point that drones are here too, but the autonomous vehicles, not here yet.
Interesting. Autonomous vehicles are very interesting. Again, the components are here. They will rely very heavily on 5G, but even without 5G, they're here.
Go ahead.
No.
I was just saying, do we want them? Like, we as consumers, do we want them?
Can I give a slightly cynical answer?
I expect nothing else from you, sir.
In a consumer-driven world, people don't know what they want until
they have it
or it's advertised and explained to them.
Yeah, it's marketed well.
Marketing. And it's not just cynical looking at marketing.
Right.
It's because explaining what autonomous vehicles mean is very complicated.
Well, I take your cynicism and I raise you a cynical chip by saying, but so far the news has been that they sent them out in the world and people are dying. I mean, that's not good.
Yeah, go back and if you have the articles about the advent of automobiles. In general. And if you can go back even further to the stone carvings, you'll see the advent of horses. Same thing, you know. Did you know that a horse collapsed in the street?
Yeah.
I don't mean to belittle that, but
it's part of the process?
It's part of the process of understanding.
All right.
And it's normal. But the autonomous vehicles issue that is there's been discussion about autonomous vehicles, combining that with the Uber model where you can pick up an app and get a car waiting for you to drive you somewhere. If you use an app to have an autonomous vehicle pick you up and take you where you want to go, that's something that's very interesting, and a lot of people are talking about that.
And I have a question about that. Does that have an effect, or can that have an effect also on our environmental, ecological, and climate needs as well, in the sense of less of a given whatever that those vehicles could also be electric. Those vehicles could also be not gas guzzlers.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. This is how this collection of pieces fits together very, very nicely. And one of the reasons I think that people, this is just my humble opinion or whatever. One of the reasons people use their cars so much, particularly in outside of the big urban centers, one of the reasons people use their cars so much is that it is easier to get into a car and drive a mile to buy a quart of milk than to walk or use some other device. Once we make the car less easy than other forms of transportation, the environment will improve.
So you have also an article in there about Apple and the new iPad, is that right?
Apple's doing something very interesting. When the iPhone came out,
yes.
There was a lot of pushback from people. This is sort of like, you know, people are dying from autonomous vehicles. There was a lot of pushback. So the iPad was no good because you couldn't plug other devices into it.
Right.
It turns out that over time, not very much time, over time, plugging in devices doesn't matter because we're using wireless.
Right.
So that was sort of a red herring.
Well, and it was more, we didn't really understand apps then.
We didn't understand any of that. In a practical sense, you have to get your hands onto these things to use them. So what has happened now is that Apple there was a lot of thought about, can you run apps on the iPhone? And people wanted to do that. Why do we have separate operating systems for the two? Apple has pulled a very interesting move now, and they have created a new operating system just for iPad, which can do all of the iPad-like things. And they have now made changes to the Mac OS and the iPad OS, the new iPad OS, so that apps can run, the same app can run on iPad and a Mac. So what that means is that the iPhone is being pushed into its own space, which is a space specifically with telecommunications devices and a small screen.
Yeah.
That's the iPhone. And then the rest of Apple's product line, basically, is iPad and Mac OS with apps that can run on both. And that's a very, very big change.
Because an app that I have on my iPhone could run on my iPad, and now they'll be a little more separate.
Right now, we look at iPhone and iPad are both running the iOS operating system. What we're looking at coming is that iPhone will run its own operating system, and iPad and macOS will run a different operating system,
which
makes it very flexible.
We're out of time. I have another question for you, so I'll just ask it off the air. But Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is champlainarts.com. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Good to be here.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.